to open your Bibles to a familiar passage we've had all week, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Am I permitted to touch this microphone right here? Very quickly, we'll read here, I guess. You're all going to stand, so we'll read and... Verse 23, let's read very quickly here. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Brother Yoakum, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. You may be seated. I do want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything to Dr. and Mrs. Peacock. And to this church, I love this meeting. I love coming to the Jubilee. I've been to good meetings and things growing up, and just different times and different things. I've been to blowouts and all that, and I'm not taking away from any of that kind of stuff. But this meeting here is it's special in its own way. You go to a blowout and it just blows out. And it's good, amen. And I'm not knocking that. You get a lot of good preaching and singing and all that kind of stuff. Thank God for it. But I've noticed a difference. This thing here, you get some good preaching, but this is more instructional. I need this kind of stuff. And I'm not saying you can't get nothing from all that other thing there. The theme or the drive or the purpose is, the motive and things are different. But I appreciate this meeting. As a pastor, man, I need this meeting. It really helps me. It encourages me. It challenges me. Gives me some things to chew on. Hopefully it makes me better as a pastor to help my church and to be a better minister to my people and all those kind of things. So I thank God for this meeting. And I've been really helped this week. Preaching and teaching has been on the local church. I will somewhat stay on that theme. Obviously, here in the book of Ephesians, there's much written about the body of Christ. Now, I realize there's a difference in the church and all that. You got to make a distinction between the local assembly, the local body, and the spiritual body. I get all that, and I understand all that. And I realize a lot of this here in Ephesians, doctrinally speaking, has to do with that spiritual body. But I want to make some application to some of this to the local body, and hopefully be a blessing to you. We've learned this week the position of the local church through different preachers. We've learned the purpose of the local church. We've learned the profit of the local church. We've learned about the power of God that is found in the local church. We've learned about the protection that is found when you submit yourself under the authority of a local church. We've learned what a local church is, the profile of a local church. Matter of fact, we've even learned, but Dr. Stevens here, we've learned about the pillar and ground of truth of the local church. We've learned that the preeminence in a local church all belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've also learned the personal impacts that the local church has on you and me. And so we've learned a lot of different things about the local church. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about some perils or some problems in the local church. And I've only been pastor now, next month will be right at 7 years. I consider myself a schoolboy, upside a lot of you fellows that are here. And I'm not saying that I got anything figured out, all that kind of stuff. I'm just going to give you a few things that I've seen along the way and hopefully be a blessing to you. But I know this, with every local, independent, fundamental, King James, mission-minded, Bible-believing church, if you've got two people there, amen, eventually there's going to be sparks, and there's going to be friction, and there's going to be perils, and there's going to be problems, and you might as well expect that. Although, thank God, listen, I'm a local church man from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I love the local church. I love it. I've been blessed by it. When the doors are open, say, you're a preacher, you're a pastor. Even before then, when the doors are open, I wanted to be there. But I know this, there's perils and there's problems and that kind of thing with it. We're in the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 4, and we've read some of that there. This is a prison epistle. It only has 6 chapters. You can find the phrase in Christ, in Him, in the blood. You find this thing several times. Matter of fact, at least approximately a dozen times or more. You'll find the body of Christ mentioned several times, almost in every chapter. You'll find the church mentioned, the body, and so on and so forth, almost in every chapter. If you outline the book in light of that, in light of the body of Christ, if you outline the book, you'll find in chapter 1 that the body is revealed or defined. You'll find this in chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Secondly, in the second chapter, you'll find some reconciliation of the church there to God or to the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 2, verse 16, and also in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I realize you're talking about one body and all that stuff there, Jew and Gentile in one body, reconciled to God. And then thirdly, in chapter 3, you'll find some recognition by the church. In other words, in verse 10 there, you'll find some things that are known or learned by the church right there in verse 10. Then also in verse 21 of chapter 3, you'll find some recognition there given to the Lord Jesus Christ by the church. You know what I love about this meeting? It all exalts Jesus Christ. And it's not a competition, and I've seen very little of that, not here, but in my time, I've seen very little of that, to be honest with you. And it's really sickening. It's sickening. And I love it when, I've said this before, and I hope you don't take no offense to this, but most of us here, we're just nobodies. Amen. We just are, we're just nobodies. And that God has plucked out a fire from the brand and decided to use you and do something with you. And He should get all the preeminence and all the recognition. Amen. And that's not to take away the honor to whom honor is due. Amen. I know probably everybody in here say that. I consider this man my friend. You have no idea. And I know some of you sitting here, I know you've had your private conversations and you've poured your heart out and you've had your big problems as well. And He's helped you and God has blessed him in that manner, but he's been a blessing to me and my wife. And thank God for you, Dr. Peacock. But Jesus Christ gets all the recognition. And then fourthly, number 4 in the 4th chapter, you'll see, and we'll deal with this, you'll see the responsibilities of the church. Number 5, you'll see the relationship of Christ and the church in chapter 5, verse 22 through 33. And then lastly, in chapter 6, you'll see some readiness given to the local church or to the body of Christ in the sense of making them fit and ready for the battle. He gives you your armor. He makes you ready in chapter 6. But I want to look at chapter 4 there. Try to hurry here. Chapter 4, in verses 1 through 6, you'll see a singleness there. You'll see that the body of Christ, you'll see the unity of the body of Christ concerning doctrinal matters and things. There ought to be some unity in the body of Christ. And no, I'm not ecumenical, and I'm not one of these softies, you know, just love everybody and all that. I realize what kind of group I'm in this morning. I thank God for you. It's a blessing to walk in to like where like-minded people are. That's a blessing. And amen. I'm not a brighter. I remember we had just had an ordination service. Brother Yoakum, we ordained him, and was talking to another pastor up our way. Good man, Brother Niehaus, pastor of Mount Hope Baptist Church, and he was telling us about an ordination that he had years ago. Dr. Wayne Munn had that church years ago, and for whatever reason, he invited some men that were brighters, and he told them, "Leave it alone." I don't know if that's all that was in the area or what, but he said, "Leave it alone." And they come in and was examining the man, and they made an issue out of it. He shut that thing down just like that and said, I want to see you in my office right now." How many of you in here know, I'm sure many of you, Dr. Munn? Yeah, he just got that eloquent, just slice you up, and you don't even know what's going on. You know. And Brother Niehaus said that we saw him go into the room and the door closed, and all you could hear was Brother Munn just shouting and screaming and yelling. And but anyway, it's good to be amongst like-minded people. Unity. There ought to be some unity in the church. We'll deal with this maybe a little more here in just a minute. Verses 7 through 13, you'll see some supply given, some gifts that are given to the church. Many of you, especially you students, you're going through some of this. You've seen some of this. I know who I'm preaching to largely. There's a lot of preachers here and that kind of thing. I know it's a Sunday morning. Maybe some of them, a lot of them are gone, but you'll see some supply given to the church. And then verses 14 to 22, you'll see some severing. The Lord says, put away some things. Amen. But He don't leave you empty. You'll see in verses 23 to 32, there's some sanctification. There's putting on some stuff. You put away some stuff and you put on some stuff. Aren't you glad you can put on some stuff? Amen. Serving Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus Christ is not empty. It's full, man. Matter of fact, I'm so overloaded right now, I don't even know how I'm speaking, preaching. But I've been gotten so much, and I write stuff down, and I keep a notebook and all that. It takes me a while to digest all that stuff. But we've been given a lot. But he says there in verse 23 to 32, there's some sanctification given. But also there in verses 23 to 32, which we will zero in a little bit more on and just boil it down a little bit more to these verses, you also find some problems there. Now, chapter 4 there talks about some responsibilities of the church and all that. But I can also, in the singleness of it, the supply of it, the severing of it, the sanctification of it, practical sanctification. I hope you understand what I mean there. But you also see, if you look closely, you can see some problems that arise in those few verses. And some problems within the local church. Matter of fact, Paul talks about some problems. He is addressing the Ephesian elders there in Acts chapter 20. He's getting ready to leave them, and he says, "Hey, fellows, when I leave, there's going to be some grievous wolves come in here. Better look out." And, you know, the church has some enemies. The local church has some enemies. And I don't know, but I hope if you're sitting here this morning, if you're a wolf, I hope you're exposed. You say, "Well, that's kind of direct." Amen. You know what you do to a wolf? You slap him right upside the head. Hard. Amen. Amen. You get rid of them. Grievous wolves. Not only that, but I don't have time to deal with all that, but Paul talked about there's some brethren, false brethren coming in there and all that, and some men rising up even amongst themselves and all that kind of stuff. You'll have some leaven in a local church. Some leaven of false doctrine and some leaven of false living. Amen. I don't have time to go through all the references and all that, but that's what you'll have. You'll have that kind of stuff. And that's problems in a local church. Amen. This church has a good shepherd. Amen. Leading and feeding this flock. And I have no doubt he's got an eye like this too. Amen. And he's watching and he's looking. And he's wise. The Lord has given him wisdom to be wise concerning those things and to deal with it and handle it. And then not only that, you keep on reading there. And Paul, you'll see in verse 31 of that chapter, I won't turn over there, but Paul warns them with tears day and night and all that. And you see the fervency and the compassion and the hotness of Paul's demeanor. So what are you saying with that? I'm saying you better beware apostasy could set in. Even in a good church like this. Even in a good church like this. Amen. God forbid. God forbid. But that is definitely a problem that we're seeing in good Bible believing churches. Amen. You can say amen right there. Amen. All right, let's keep going here. But there are problems within a local church. Now I realize I just went outside the text a little bit, and I just simply said that to say that I found four here, but that obviously there are more. There's all kind of problems that can happen in a local church. But there's four here that stand out to me, and I'll give you these four here. We'll talk about these very quickly, and I will get down and let the next preacher come. There's problems here in the local church. Look at verse 27. Here's the first one. Neither give place to the devil. Amen. I hope you did not let him hitch ride with you in here this morning. But I know this, he hates this place. He hates that man right there. He hates that woman right there. He hates you. He hates your guts. He has no mercy with you. He has no compassion with you. He will never let up. If the first chance he gets, he's not going to back off. He's going to smack you every chance he gets. Amen. You need to understand that he is your adversary. He is relentless. He's not going to stop. It's not going to be this, just back, except for God's hand on you, God's protective hand on you. He will constantly come at you. He will drag you into the ground. Amen. He will disgrace your pastor. He will disgrace you. He will disgrace this church. If he gets the chance. Neither give place to the devil. You have an enemy in the devil. You have an adversary. He is very aware of this place. And he is actively at work trying to destroy, trying to undermine, trying to infiltrate. Whatever he can do. And here's something else. You ever think he might use you? Well, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. So what? I have learned, wife and I was talking about this a while back, I have learned that as a Christian, as a pastor, as a preacher, as a child of God even, you better be careful about putting a carnal face on your enemy. Amen and amen goes right there. You say, well, you don't realize what they did to me. You don't realize what they said. Just give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe they're just full of the devil. And he got a hold of them. And he's put something in their head. And he's put something in their heart. And what's happened? They'll cause problems. And the devil sit back there and go, here we go. Got it going. Got it going. Got a toe in the door. Got a foot in the door. Yeah. It happens. In good, fundamental, independent, King James only, Bible believing, mission minded, premillennial, you right down the line. Second adversary you have, I'm moving quickly here, is you have, in verses 25 to 31, you have a sorry testimony. A sorry testimony. He's talking about all that business down through there. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth and all that stuff. That's not just cussing and swearing and all that lying. Corrupt communication, that can be a bunch of gossip. That can be a bunch of slander and a bunch of trash and a bunch of nonsense. You know, see, we went from some doctrinal stuff, we're right down to some practical stuff right here. And I missed all this stuff on the YouTube and all that. We didn't get here till Thursday and all that kind of thing. But I know this, and you can say all you want to about how the computer is used for good and all that stuff. I don't like it. Well, amen, as Brother Jared would say, amen right there. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of devilment that goes on with it. Amen. So you got a cell phone, got one right here, and if I had my choice, I'd pitch it today. I would. There's a whole lot of junk that goes on. It's real easy to sit behind a screen and quote unquote say something. Amen. You coward, you. Or say something behind someone's back and all that stuff. Sorry testimony. Corrupt communication. There's some other stuff there goes along with it and all that. Be angry and sin not. Bad tempers and all that. Nothing wrong with getting mad. You ought to get mad at some things. Amen. But anyway, you get the point. There's a sorry testimony. You know, and I'm not saying that you got to be perfect. I mean, that's the goal. Amen. That's the goal. Holiness. Live right. Do right. You say you're a member of this church. You go to this church. Do right.
Amen.
Don't go out here and live like hell. Well, I go to church. I've had people tell me that. I've come across people. I go to Miltonville Baptist Church. You do? I've had people tell me. I've even had them tell me. I'm a former pastor that. You do? Who's the pastor? What's that guy's name? He's standing in front of them. That's been a long time. Yeah, it sure has. A sorry testimony. You know what that is? That's an enemy of the church. You give occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You give those that's doing right a black eye. I say it's no excuse to that. I know that, but it doesn't matter. You still did it. You still give them the excuse. A sorry testimony. Number three. Here's a peril in the church or a problem in the church. Look at verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Suppressing the Holy Spirit. Stifling the Holy Spirit. Silencing the Holy Spirit. Boy, don't you love it? Brother Yoakum was preaching yesterday and just the Holy Spirit just come in here and just blew in here. It's like, oh, there's that breeze. Man, I love it when that comes in there. And it don't have to be, you don't have to be running the aisles and swinging from the microphone up there. And it can be just a calm, just a ministering spirit come in here. Man, I love it. You know what's bad? You know what I've seen? I've seen people come in and that with a grieving. They grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It might do you well to put a check on your heart. You say, before you come in the door, before you leave the house. Before you leave the house. So, Lord, getting ready to go to church. Wash me. Cleanse me, Lord. Got some things here. Lord, forgive me. Lord, bless the preacher. Bless the people there. Help me. Help me to be a blessing to whoever's around me. You know, there's more to coming to church than just getting. It's about being the blessing to someone around you sometimes. Amen. Instead of just grieving. Hey, everybody in here had a flat tire, fighting with the wife, argument, fighting with the kids, problems, financial, whatever it is, family, whatever it is, got stuff on your mind and all that. Hey, you're saved by the grace of God. You're on your way to heaven. The guy's going to open the book and preach to you. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to come down and meet with us. What a blessing that is. Why would you come in there and just... And I want to hear from God. Can suppress the Holy Spirit. That's a peril. That's a problem in the church. Fourthly, my last point. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Strife. Strife. I know this. You got a church this size? You got somebody that don't like somebody. If you don't, man, you're the rarest bunch I've seen in my life. Amen. Sometimes Christians amaze me. Notice here, he lists five things. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Five. I'm talking to a bunch of Bible believers. You've read all kinds of stuff. You know what that is. Those are five things that will kill this church. Five things that will kill any church. Amen. You know what you've got to learn how to do? You've got to learn how to spot it. You've got to learn to spot that stuff and stay away from it. And shut it down. Amen. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. I'm just about done here. I'm trying to finish. See, what's the remedy to all that? Well, look at verse 32. Then be ye kind one to another. Amen. Yeah, but we're Bible believers. I'm going to pull the sword. There's a place for that. But man, you're amongst brethren. Put it away. Unless you're going to impart something. Amen? You're amongst brethren here. I know iron sharpeneth iron. I thank God for Brother Wheeler and the message. And I'm not talking against that kind of thing. I'm talking about you pulling your sword on your brethren and trying to cut his head off. God help you. What's wrong with you? Now listen, I know there's divisions and things and the body of Christ and all that, but I'm honing it right on down further than that to this local assembly. If you don't like what's going on here, if you don't like that man, that preacher right there, why don't you pray and ask God to either change your heart and fix you? He's been here how long? 30 years. I think the Lord's doing something here. If you don't like it, leave. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. This is his church. You can take me to task later, preacher, if you need to. But I don't understand that. Be ye kind one to another. You can be kind. Amen. You ever look at the fruit of the Spirit over there? I'm not talking about this soft, effeminate kind of crap and all this stuff. I'm not talking about that. But you can be kind. Amen. You got the Holy Spirit of God in you. You got any fruit of the Holy Spirit? You got any charity? Brother Pilkington, come up and just preach the revival for us, preaching on charity. You got any charity? The greatest of all those gifts. Have you got any charity? Amen. Notice what he says there. Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. I don't remember who it was now. Brother Stephen or somebody told me I didn't like to cry. No, really, basically, most grown men don't like to cry in front of a bunch of people. But you know what you saw? I saw a tender heart. Amen. Toward God, toward the book, and toward God's people. And that's what you want. A tender heart. Not this hard, bitter, angry, malicious, evil speaking. Notice what it says, forgiving one another. Boy, I could go a long time on that one right there. You better learn to forgive people. Whether they want you to forgive them or not. You better learn that, because if you don't, you ain't going to make it. And you ain't going to finish. Somebody's going to do something to you. Somebody's going to say something about you or to you. And if you don't learn in your heart to forgive them, look what it says there in the verse. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Has not God forgiven you much?
Yes.
Has God? That's a salvation. Has God still forgiven you?
Yes.
We claim 1 John 1:9 all the time. He is faithful. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we apply that all the time in a practical sense. Right? Because He's faithful. Day in, day out. Day in, week out. Lord, did it again. Lord says, I got you covered. Let's just get fellowship right. You don't learn to forgive. That bitterness will come in there. I'll say this and I'm done. Over there, and what is that? Luke 17, Luke 19, the reference escapes me now, but you got those servants that come there and they're being examined by the Lord. They're giving account. Those three servants. And the one, he has his pound and he goes out and it multiplies to 10. The second multiplies to 5. And the next guy comes up there. He didn't do anything. Give account. And he begins to speak. I know thou art an hard and austere. Reaping. You reap where you didn't sow. So on and so forth. You know, you read that passage, you know what that old boy was? He was bitter. Some things came in his life. And he wouldn't even forgive God. This is your fault. You are hard. I tried to do something for you and you didn't bless me like I thought you should have. And he got, you better learn to forgive.
Amen.
And in a local church, You better learn to forgive one another. I'll say this and I'm done without getting too personal. Had some things going on in our church this past year. And I determined early, I don't care what they do. I don't care what they say. I'm going to love them.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, I'll forgive them. And I'm going to be their pastor. And I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to preach to them. And I'm going to do what I can to be a blessing to them. I'm not perfect by any means. I got a lot to learn and I realize that. But by the grace of God, whatever happens here, I'm going to forgive them. And I'm going on. And let God do whatever He wants to do. Amen. Preacher, I'm done.